Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Great to have you with us for another edition of Marnie's Friends and Perspective Transformation. Today, our guest is Monica Gary Sr., and we're going to be talking about COVID-19 and helping your ministry go online. COVID-19 has ministry scrambling to think outside the box and find ways to meet without coming together. And during this hour, we're going to be talking about how to establish guidelines for your community of faith, how to build bridges instead of barriers, how to communicate individually and church-wise, how to communicate the identities of each individual and church online, how to encourage participation, embrace social media as a mission field, send a social disciple, build a platform and some tools for you there, and then also how to do Sabbath online. Our guest today, Monica Gary Sr., is one of our featured speakers at WomenSpeakers.com. She is the pastor of New Wine Community Church, a writer, speaker, wife, and mother of six, social media minister. More importantly, she's a passionate and grace-filled follower of Jesus. You can learn more about her at her website at MonicaGarySrSr.com. Welcome to you, Monica. So great to have you with us today.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
You were created for such a time as this, my dear.
Apparently so.
We all were.
Knew it would happen so soon.
I know. And it was funny because we had this topic already lined up before all of this. And it's like, wow, God knew what was coming here. So
He's good. Really, he's good like that. Yeah.
He is really good like that. And this is such an important it's really an important moment in time in his story, in God's story that he's flowing through our lives. I was talking with the pastor's wife at our church last week, and we weren't online live on Sundays or Wednesday nights until this happened. We did, we posted the sermons afterwards, but what was interesting to us is to see how many people are watching from other cities around the country, other countries around the world who weren't able to come to church with us ever. What an opportunity.
Yeah, it really is. I've found that out over it's been about 8 years now that I've been functioning online intentionally doing ministry. And it's just amazing how many people we can connect with and what our capabilities are there. So in a way, you know, it's a blessing in disguise that the church can really open up now to that because we have had to, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And well, you know, I figure we'll never really go back. Why would we stop doing it? Once we learn how to do it, why would we stop?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And it really is, like we'll get into in a minute, a mission field. And sometimes we can be behind the curve on things as a church, but I think that it's a little overdue, but we're going to get there. We're getting there together. I'll share some resources. There are a lot of people who have gone forward in this, not just me, but many people who are really excited about this season being able to share these resources and wisdom about doing church online. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm super excited for it. And it was interesting. We did a thing yesterday with the speakers talking about how to speak online at online events, getting ready to speak at online events. And one of them mentioned, you know, I'm seeing so much more now. I feel like it will be saturated. And I am like, wow, that is simply impossible to saturate the market when you're talking about online video, church, whatever, it's impossible to saturate the market because even what I found in our home is that we go to church at our own church on Sunday morning and then we tune into one or two other churches. So now instead of going to one church only, we're going to three churches. You know what I mean? It's like you have more out there, but you have more ability to access it.
Yeah, well, I think what it comes down to with that, and you bring up a really good point, what are we saturating the internet with, right? Are we saturating it with our own agenda or what Christ is doing in us and we're trying to share that? And so if it is something that we're doing to try and glorify Jesus, then you can't saturate it too much. We know
as believers,
the more we are in his presence, the more we are, you know, worshiping and reading, that's better. Right. So you can't do it too much, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and dive in here. So the first thing that you recommend is that we establish some guidelines for our community of faith.
Yeah, I think that that is one of the things that is a little bit overdue, that we need to be intentional about how we are communicating as leaders online, as churches and as organizations online, and also teaching our people how to do that. Because the people who are a part of our organization, our ministry, what have you, they're a reflection of that organization, right? And ultimately of Christ, which is so important, right? So for some people, communicating online is simpler than communicating personally, but it doesn't come naturally to others. Understanding that we have differing styles of communication is important when you're learning to use social media, because you have to sometimes teach people how to interact online. We all engage in different ways. So setting up some guidelines is a great first step. Try beginning with things like checking sources before posting and sharing things. That's a big one. There's an excellent free resource. It's called Snopes, that you can go on the website, and it's S-N-O-P-E-S, that I'm amazed that some people still don't know about, but it's a great thing to run a fact checker through. You can say, oh, is this really true? You type it into the thing, and it'll tell you. They actually do the research. So at least we're not posting things that are not accurate. So that's a good first step. Writing styles is something to discuss with people and to be aware of that we do. If you type in all caps, you're yelling at people, for example, and it's amazing some people still don't know that. That's okay, but it's time to learn, right? Sticking to what you know when you post is super important, and then being willing to admit when we make mistakes. So a lot of my interaction online, it's not just posting articles and trying to ram information or my viewpoint down people's throats. It's, and we'll get into that as well with the bridge building and all of that, but a lot of it is being willing to listen and being humble enough to say, you know, if I've gotten something wrong or I don't have the whole picture, because I really believe, and this is in Ephesians, God's wisdom is manifold, and so it comes through all of us, right? So we can listen for his voice anywhere, and we should, even still online. So there may be something that someone brings to a conversation that I need to grow in my wisdom and understanding that I didn't have before. So looking at it as a dialogue instead of just pinging out information for people to like or respond to is really helpful, and it sets up good guidelines. Those are good guidelines for us to stay within, just knowing that it is a dialogue. It's not just for promotion. If we're promoting Jesus, then it's a dialogue, because that's what he did with people. So keeping that in mind will help as well, I think.
I love that. And for guidelines, I was thinking too, one of the things I've always taught is, if you didn't want to see it on the 10 p.m. news, don't put it out there, because once it's out there, it is public, it's public domain, and you would never want to say anything on your page that is not also appropriate for everything. You want to be careful of what you put out there. Do you have a comment about that?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more relaxed with what I put out, because I'll put out things that are maybe more questionable for people to try and engage with, but it's not for the purpose of reactions. It's for dialogue. I really like to foster dialogue. It's not unusual on my personal Facebook page for a discussion to be happening between me and a friend who is atheist and a friend who is Muslim, and productive, loving discussion. And so that's why I'm a little more open with it, but it really depends on the person, what we're willing to engage with. If you're going to put out something that's going to get reactions out of people, you have to be committed to seeing that dialogue all the way through, right? But for the most part, for most people, if you're not called into this as like a ministry field and you're just trying to figure out how to engage online for the purposes of glorifying Christ and existing well within that space, just stick to the lighthearted and the beautiful things. I mean, you can't really go wrong with that, right? Just like what you said about, if you don't want to see it on the news, then probably don't post it, right?
Right. And even in conversations, even in difficult conversations with hurting people or with people who are antagonistic, right, all of our responses, whether they're online or face to face, should be in the love of Christ. So, to just keep that, I love this setting guidelines first for your team to make sure that we're all aware that this is bigger than a one-on-one conversation behind a closed door. This is,
absolutely. Really, and that really actually opens up a lot of opportunity for you just to disciple mm-hmm. your people, because you can sit down and look over someone's Facebook page or talk about how they post and engage with people. And there's a lot of conversations to be had about those things and how you can guide them personally. So if you're talking about someone within your church or organization, that's a great conversation opener.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about building bridges instead of barriers. And I like how you put that.
Sure. So through social media, we're able to meet a lot of new people from different walks of life. And we should, in my opinion, this is what I do, be intentional about building those bridges to connect with and encourage people who are not like us. Social media algorithms will feed you, that's why it's called a feed, what they think you like. So you will use it more, because if you see what you enjoy seeing, then you'll go back for it, right? So that's sort of the formula that they use. So if you click on something, they're going to show you more of that thing. So even if a negative a news post comes across your feed, and it may not be what you normally look at, if you pause on it for a few seconds, all you have to do is even pause for a few seconds, or you click on it, then they're going to start showing you more of those things. So mm-hmm. using this to our advantage to build bridges, going out of our way to intentionally seek out and connect with people who are not like us. It could start with just the person who's in your community that leads a different lifestyle than you. They're not a Christian. They have some different worldviews, and you connect with them online, and you engage with them, and then maybe start engaging with some of their friends in the comments, and you build this network and this community online. It looks like around yourself, but it's around Christ, you know, as we're intentionally being Christ-like. You build this community. And I've heard it said like that before, building Facebook groups around yourself when you're marketing and you're trying to establish a business and things like that. And that always kind of rubbed me wrong, because I don't want to build around myself. I want to build around Christ. So being very intentional about looking at it that way and saying it that way, I think, is important. But we go out of our way to connect with these people. So basically, we teach social media what we want to see and who we want to interact with. So we're going to get more of what we put into it, if that makes sense. I'm sure you mm-hmm. know this. but maybe not. You know, many people don't know this still.
It's good to talk about this, though, too. So you, Monica, let's go back into your history a little bit. You come from a very different background. You didn't come from a churchy background. And how did you find out about God or about Christ?
So I knew since I was very young about Christ. There was always a Bible in my home, but I didn't live in a Christ-like home, if that makes sense. My mother was raised religious when she was very young. She had witnessed some things that were not Christ-like, and so turned away from religion. And she still loved Jesus, and so there was still a Bible in our home, but she had her own stuff that she struggled with. And so there was a lot of influences in my home growing up, like alcohol and drug abuse and other kinds of abuse. It was rough. So when you don't grow up in a Christ-honoring home, the world kind of takes over at some point, and you don't understand your identity in him, right? So that's what happened with me. And then when I would go in and out of church. Sometimes I would go with my older sister. We would go on whatever bus would come and pick us up. That's probably illegal now, that you can't just show up and take children on a bus and just drive them to the nearest church. But this is what I grew up in, and it worked for us, and I was grateful. But as I became a teenager, I went to another church with a friend of mine for some years, kind of on and off. And then when I got pregnant when I was 17, and I right before that time had this experience at that church. We had revival all week during Passover. It was a fast and revival season, and it was just really beautiful. I remember just praying and God just delivering on some really important things in my life during that time. And so even though I walked away from the church as I had my son shortly after, and then I turned to the world to solve my problems and myself, really. Instead of submitting to God's will, I wanted my own. And part of that story was, you know, me working in the strip clubs and waitressing and engaging in people groups I had no business hanging out in, you know, at 2 a.m. in D.C. So we'll just keep it to that. Maybe we'll do another discussion later on that. But after that, you know, I wanted to get out. There was a lot wrapped up in that, and I did leave. And my now husband, we've been married, what, 13 years now? It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I, we were about 2 years into our marriage, and I had carried so much baggage, and I didn't realize it. And so I remember that prayer and fasting, the power of fasting and that prayer from when I was a teenager, and I started fasting for my marriage. And during that time, I realized I didn't really believe in Jesus like I thought I did. I had said the prayer. I knew I was saved, but I had not honored him with my life. I kept thinking, one day I'll do it, one day. When everything lines up, right? Isn't that what we do? I prayed, and it was a 5-day water fast, actually, and about halfway through I realized that, and I just begged for faith. I was like, Lord, you know, I had read about Thomas and him doubt. I didn't know he was called Doubting Thomas at the time, but I so related, and I was like, I just can't believe. I actually almost became Muslim because I thought, if I get this Jesus thing wrong, I'm in a lot of trouble, and that's idolatry. So I prayed, and I begged, and I was like, God, just, you know, let me know. Like, I need faith. I can't do this. I've read all the concordances and different versions of the Bible that I can, and I can't figure it out. So just give me faith. And he did. And I went back and I read my Bible, and it was real and true. And it's been that way ever since. And that was, you know, like I said, about 8 years ago. Sorry, more than 8 years ago now. Sorry, I've got a little pollen thing going on here.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that was just really beautiful to me. And I've had friends who, one specific friend, you know, she says she doesn't believe in God. And she's like, well, you just wanted to believe. I'm like, no. Like, this isn't I wanted to, and I convinced myself. Like, that was a miracle for me. So I share that as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. And we can build bridges through social media. Absolutely. We don't have to build barriers. And it is possible, though, to throw up barriers. Maybe give us some examples of things not to do.
Yeah, arguing with people. Our politics, I think, is the main offender. Christians are really good at putting the stop on anything by throwing politics into it. We get very tied to that. And sometimes we elevate it above Christ. We elevate our political views above Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that it's not important. It's just to say that it's less important than the people around us. Politics is, by definition, it's grasping for and trying to hold on to power. Well, we know who's in power, right? It's Christ. It's not us. It's not, you know, ultimately our world authorities. It's God, you know, and so if we're going to honor that and live like we really believe that, then I think we have to back down some of those contentious discussions we're having around political things.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I do feel like there is the opportunity to take some of these conversations offline, like into a PM or into a phone conversation where we don't, sometimes it's just not the right forum to try to do it without any inflection, without any love. You know, you can't, it's very difficult to feel a person's compassion in a text message, even though it's possible to try to communicate.
Absolutely. So I wouldn't say not have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Just like you're saying, you can take them into private messages. And I've often had those conversations where you kind of have to feel it out and see where it's going. And if someone's just raring to go and they want to argue with you, be like, hey, I sent you a message, you know, and just carry it on there on the side, because the world is watching. We are a city on a hill, and sometimes if it looks like the walls are crumbling on that city, that's all someone needs to just be like, oh, see, I'm done with those Jesus people, you know, and ultimately try and turn away from Christ, you know, and not want to explore that more. So
Yeah, and I think the other thing with social is that someone can come into the middle of a conversation and completely miss something that you said earlier that sort of the point. So I do feel like it's really easy for us to build bridges, and it's really easy for us to build barriers. So just to be really careful about that. What would you say helps an individual or a church communicate their identities online?
So that's going to be unique to each person and organization. Organizations, you know, we typically, we know what we stand for. We're very clear about it, typically, you know, if we have a good business structure. But conveying those things to the people who are a part of that church or whatever organization can be a little more difficult. So our online personality is sort of a caricature of our real identity. We'll share things and post comments, and it reveals only so much of who we are to people, and then people will then, in turn, exaggerate what they want to see in us. So if we're not careful to highlight Christ in everything, we will unintentionally damage our witness and the witness of our church. So there's not really a prescription for how do we sit down, and anyone could develop this for themselves, I'm sure, but there's no step-by-step process to sit down and go, okay, here's our identity, here's how we're going to do it. I think each person and organization should develop that on their own, within their own community, and it should be very clear coming from the church to the individuals. This is what we're about. This is who we are. This is how we communicate in a loving way, not not a controlling way. I've had a bad experience. there was a church I was at, and I had posted something one time, and I think there was some miscommunication because of generational gap, and so someone misunderstood something that I said because I was using, like, younger people lingo, and they thought it was something inappropriate, and I got a call. Actually, I got an email and then on a phone call, and then I was basically told, do or don't post this. It was very uncomfortable. And so while I was receiving the wisdom and understanding, okay, I need to be more mindful of what I say and how I say it because not everyone understands the language, maybe. The way it was done seemed a little controlling. So we want to be careful about that, too, if we're leaders. That as we're guiding people in this, we're not telling them what to do, but we're discipling them, if that makes sense.
Right. And so as I work with the speakers at womenspeakers.com, I keep on communicating that what I'm looking for is congruence. I'm looking for a consistent front from, so if you have, let's say you have a womenspeakers.com profile, you're at Facebook, you're at LinkedIn, you're at Instagram, and maybe you're at, you know, Twitter. And I go hopping and I go stalking you and I look at who you are at all these places. Are they consistent or do I all of a sudden see, oh my goodness, this isn't what I was expecting to see. So what
absolutely.
This congruence. And honestly, if you're not congruent, that's a problem. So so you have to address how you are before you can address what you're communicating.
I totally agree. We have, you know, there's such a thing as brand consistency, like across those different platforms, it needs to be the same message. It needs to be the same images, right? We'll get into, you know, tools and developing that, you know, a little bit more. But for me, like, I picked specific ones to focus on because as an individual planting a small church, I can't focus on every single media platform. I just have to pick a couple, and that's fine. So if you're starting out, there's a good note for you there. You don't have to do them all at once. You can just pick one or two to start building on. But yes, definitely consistency is important. And when we have consistency with the church identity and the member identity, that's going to show people this is really a place where there is solid community and family and like-mindedness and peace and love. Just seeing the consistency and the tone and the visual, the things we talk about, how we handle people that engage with us online.
And we do want them to engage. We want to encourage participation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. So encouraging participation is, let's see, okay, how do I address this? Social media has become for some well-meaning individuals, that's fine, a way to just talk about the individual. But that's not what it's meant for. So it works best, social media works best for an individual or an organization when we use it as intended, which is socially. So self-promotion, even from a page, not just a person, is not the best way to get the word out about your mission. So what's our mission? Our mission is to glorify Christ, right? We want to be that city on a hill. We want to love people well. We want to show the world what he's doing through us and our organization and share that, right, and share him. So the best way to do that is actually try and develop a team of people who are committed to supporting this online ministry by liking and commenting and sharing and interacting with posts. So once we develop that, that actually helps the way that our posts function within social media. They're going to get more views. They're going to get more interaction. We're going to open up that dialogue and build more bridges and show that identity of who we are, right? So you can have a solid identity and you can have a beautiful mission and purpose, but if nobody knows about it, then what are we doing, right?
Absolutely.
So we have to make sure that there are people who are supporting in this, and it's not a big thing. It's not a big ask to just say, hey, you know, pick out a couple people that you know are already interacting a lot online and say, hey, would you mind doing this? This would really help out. Can I count on you for this? Go on the page and turn on post notifications, and when it pops up, just take a minute or two to interact and share, and we'd really appreciate it. And that will make all the difference in our reach and how we're able to actually share what we're doing with the world.
Okay, so just very simply for those of you who are really new to this, when you share it, it's seen, potentially seen, by people who are already in your sphere of influence. But when someone else shares it, it's seen by, potentially seen, by the people in their entire sphere of influence, which is why a video that goes out to a group of, let's say, 100 can be seen by millions because
yes,
it gets shared and shared and shared and shared and shared and shared and just this could get bigger. So it's really important that you don't think, okay, the whole goal of this is for me to be posting things to my wall. Yeah, that is the first step. But then you have to, the goal is participation.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say on this, one of the things we don't want to do is tag people in our posts without their permission.
Right.
I've seen that multiple times. I know it's well intentioned. I have some friends who do it with me, and there are very few that I'm okay with them doing it, and they know that. But when there's someone that I don't know very personally, and they're tagging me and 50 other people in a post, the purpose of them tagging is so that it shows up on my wall. So what you're doing is trying to promote yourself on my wall in a very impersonal way. You haven't interacted with me. You haven't said, hey, will you get behind this? Hey, I want to post this thing. Is it okay if I tag you in it? So we don't want to do that because that can definitely build a barrier, right?
Absolutely. Right. So the two things that you don't want to do is you don't want to start a party on somebody else's wall. So you don't want to go over somebody else's wall and make a post there about you. That doesn't work.
Right.
So it's like walking into their house and setting up dinner or setting up something, a commercial in their living room. And you just wouldn't do that to a person. And so don't do it on their social wall. And then by tagging them in your thing, it does put it on there. A lot of people put it on their wall. Some people have their privacy set up a little different, but a lot of people, it shows right up on their wall without any permission that they give you. So once again, it's like they're having dinner with somebody and you just all of a sudden show up and take over the conversation. So be really careful about the etiquette of it. And
absolutely.
Having said that, I want to move on to embracing social media as a mission field. We've come a long way. And I can remember when this first started and pastors everywhere were up in arms about this being a very dangerous, which it has. It definitely has dangerous components, definitely. But it also is a mission field, and it is for such a time as this that it is available to us when we are not supposed to be getting together to protect everybody during COVID-19.
Yeah.
What a beautiful gift of God to be able to have this social media platforms available.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many pastor friends and ministers I've been interacting with that are just grateful that we have the ability to stream services, to interact with one another on Zoom calls. That seems to be the most popular thing right now. And I think the important thing to remember about all this, and like you said, I don't think we're going back. I think that the floodgates have just opened on this, and the church is going to continue to function in this area, and it's a good thing. So one of the more important things to remember about this is that online ministry is a legitimate ministry. So that means there are people who are called specifically into this mission field and are naturally equipped to function there in a way that glorifies Christ and will build up the kingdom, right? So when we look at it like that, we can begin to, as leaders in the church, find who are the right people to put in these positions, because you're not going to take the person who types in all caps on their Facebook page to manage your social media ministry, right? Maybe not the best idea. So we're going to find those people when we pay attention and see where's God already, who has he already equipped to be able to do this, and ask them, hey, will you step up and help with this? Liking and commenting and sharing those live videos, and we're caring for people. It's often that I will go on to watch, like you said, I'll watch other services online as well, and so I'll watch one that I really enjoy, and then I'll see people typing in the comments, hey, this mm-hmm. is going on in my life. I need prayer for this. And so mm-hmm. I make sure to take a minute and tell them I'm praying, and then two, actually pray for them. So, I mean, we need social media prayer teams. We need, social media pastors, people who can actually engage with people. And, if we think about it, many of us, this is a convenience thing. We're online, we get to do this, but most of the time we go to church if it's open. There are other people who they're not able to get to a church and they can only interact online, because maybe they have a disability, or maybe where they live there's nothing nearby where they can go to a healthy church. So being aware of that, and that people really do need care and interacting with them there, it's definitely a mission field.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about sending social disciples. Go into that for a moment.
Yeah, just as we send disciples and missionaries into different parts of the world and our community, we should be sending disciples into the digital world. They need to be covered in prayer regularly and commissioned, if possible, by the church. It's something that I really believe that we should be taking a lot more seriously and say, these people, they're not just sitting at home playing around on their phone or their computer or in the office or wherever you have them doing it. It could be a church office, or you can do it remotely. Praise the Lord. We love remote working, especially now, right? But to take it seriously and say, this is important. These people are providing care. They're praying for people. I try to pray for all of my followers every single day. I don't know them all by name. My Instagram following's pretty significant. Some of my friends on Facebook have requested me because we have mutual friends. I don't know them personally, but I pray for them because they need prayer. And so I need prayer, right? So the work that I'm doing, I also need to be covered, because the worst thing we can do is go into missions and not be covered in prayer and have people who are supporting us and taking what we do seriously, because there's warfare in that too. It's not an easy work, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I think that we've had these social disciples for years. I have several friends who spend a significant, they look at it like a part-time job or a full-time job. Yes. They spend time in chat rooms, praying with people, answering questions. They work for Bible.org or, you know, different organizations even doing it. And so this is a real thing that's been going on for a long time. But as our churches get more involved with being online in ministry, it's something that we're going to have to get up to speed on and make sure that we have a support available when people need it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been my life for some years. And the reason being, when I really, when I surrendered to Christ and I had that revelation of, oh my goodness, Jesus really is God. And wow, what he's done for me. I wanted to spread that word. I was just so passionate and still am. But at that time, what I had as far as accessibility to people, how do I reach people? I had an iPad. That's all I had. I was at home with my kids. And as you know, we have 7 children all together, with my niece included. And so I've been home. And my life is here with the kids for the most part. I get out. I'm not stuck here. But most of my interaction is through social networks. And so I've really enjoyed doing that. And seeing the other people who are doing it, and that you mentioned there are so many people who have been doing it for a long time, I really am looking forward to seeing how the churches connect with this and sending social disciples and equipping them and discipling them, because there are a lot of people out there that I've come across who they felt called to do this, but it's not a thing that's really supported. And I'll tell you, there is some lack of discipleship in some of these people's lives. And so we can see things going really left field sometimes. We get into a lot of, it's easy to get off of a peaceful, wise path when you are going it alone. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And when people are, you know, amassing these followings, we need people who are leading us while we do that. So I'm very excited to see the church really engaging with those people.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and talk about some tools that people can use to build their platform then at this point.
Okay. Let's see. So I'll tell you what I've used personally. There's a few tools that I've used that are free or very inexpensive that I've found incredibly helpful. So I started out with something called Quotes Creator. It's a free app. You can get it in your iTunes store. I'm not sure about other devices, but I know it's in your app store for Apple. It's pretty cheap. I paid for the upgraded version because you can get rid of the thing that says Quotes Creator in the corner, so it looks a little bit more professional. And I think that was like $2 or something. So if you're just starting out, that's a really good one to use. InShot is free. That's a video editing app. It's wonderful. I mean, they even have clips of music that you can use as long as you put a credit in when you post. So I'll play around with some of those. So Quotes Creator, InShot for your video, Latergram, that's something that you can use to schedule your social media posts. I really enjoy that because I don't want to try and squeeze it. I'm a planner now. I'm very artistic, and I used to use that as an excuse to be like, to never plan anything. But I've realized I can be more relaxed if I just make the schedule, and then when I don't have something scheduled, I can really be more free-spirited. So Latergram is something I use all the time. It's wonderful. It also does a hashtag count for you. Like if you're posting on Instagram, you can't do over 30 hashtags, or your whole caption will get deleted when it'll just post the picture, which is super pain in the butt. So that's something I really like. Canva is a really big one. I use that. I've seen a lot of other people using it. I pay for the subscription, so you have a few extra features. It's about $20 a month. So that's a great tool. I will also recommend there are a couple of Facebook groups that I do not run personally, but I'm a part of, that are just communities full of resources and wisdom, especially right now because everyone is, you know, just running around trying to help each other to figure out what is the situation we're in with the COVID-19 and not being able to meet. And the church is just pouring out wisdom to one another, like, okay, I have this. What do you have? I, you know, and just trading these resources and even graphics. People are posting graphics like, hey, I made this for my drive-in church. You guys can use it. Here's one without our logo on it. And just posting it there and then letting other people use it. So it's really great time to get in on this. And so those groups, there may be more, but these are the two that I'm a part of. I found very helpful. There's church social media managers. So that's one that you could refer someone to at your church who is managing that for you. You don't have to be an official social media manager, but if that's what you're doing, you can go ahead and become part of that group. And then also the church creatives group. So they deal a lot with what's going on online and a lot of video. If you have questions about video, live streaming, anything like that, you could probably just search the post and find an answer to your question right away. But if you cannot, just ask a question, and I guarantee you 20 people are going to jump on the post and help you out.
That's so great. That is great. So, Monica, do you do your services online?
No, actually, so I'm leading the plant of a small home church, hopefully a network of home churches.
Okay.
It's funny because I function so much online, but I'm very passionate about that face-to-face ministry and that intimacy. So occasionally I'll put a video online, but we don't put our services online because our services look more like just intimate Bible studies. The conversations that we have are very intimate. And so it's not something that I really want to broadcast because I work very in-depth with people in what we're sorting through. We're sort of deconstructing a lot. There's a lot of deconstructing that happens with people who would meet with me and myself as well. You know, we're all growing, and that takes taking things apart sometimes to put them back together rightly, right? So our services actually are not online.
Okay. So what I want to do for those who are listening that are trying to go online with your services or your presentations, if you have a camcorder or not a camcorder, if you have a phone with a video recorder on it, or if you have an iPad or a laptop that has a built-in or a separate camera, you can definitely go online as fast as this Sunday. And you can use Facebook Live if you have an Apple product. You can use Facebook Live with that. If you don't have Facebook Live or you'd rather use something else, I use BeLive TV to do mine, BeLive, BeLive.tv. And then there's also Zoom. So those are some platforms that you can actually put your services out on. And then you have to have a place to put them. So either onto your own website, or if you have a Facebook group, that's really terrific. If you have a church Facebook page, that's a very good way to start.
I would
say
that's free to set up. If you have you don't have a church Facebook page, set up your church Facebook page and stream from there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's right though.
So the other thing is, people are having some difficulty right now getting their live streaming going if the connection is off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't want to lose that moment where the Lord really drops something in the preacher's heart and he or she just says, hey, this is this, and the world needs to hear it, and then your service cuts out. So that's not what we want. So I would also recommend taping it as well. Usually we have access to multiple devices, so if you can actually just video it as well so you can post it later just in case, or if the live stream drops on you, that's a great thing to be able to do.
Yeah, and just so you're aware, all of this stuff has a little bit of a learning curve to it. You're probably not just going to come out of the shoot looking like, you know, tabernacle or something. It's going to be a little bit of a process for you to kind of get it figured out. I know the first Sunday our church did it, we could hardly hear the pastor. They had to move the screen, the recorder up closer and during it. And, you know, I mean, there's other things, but that's okay. You know what? It's okay. It's a process and we're all learning. And then once you know how to do it, then it's just, you know, rinse and repeat over and over and over. So that's really cool. The other thing to be aware of is, you mentioned the quality, is that as more and more people use online services, as we're getting farther and farther in this COVID-19 and more of us are at home and more of us are distancing and using the resources in the sky, basically, we could find that it gets more and more sluggish, more difficult to do this. So having resources that are available as a download, like you say, recording it so that even if the live stream didn't work, people can get it within an hour or whatever afterwards. And then also having notes available that they can follow along. One of the things that I've really appreciated is when there's words to the music that's being sung with the worship team, instead of just watching them and trying to figure out, like lips, reading lips to figure out what comes words. And so because we didn't have the ability to do that live, I've just been the one that's been posting the link to the lyrics online. So in the chat, I just post the links to the lyrics and then we can all sing along and then when the next song comes up, that's what we've been doing. So there's a lot of creative ways to get from where you are, or maybe more importantly, from where you weren't to where you want to be, without, you know, without having to have it all perfect right away. Don't worry about that. Just begin and God will help. God will help. And then just, I think the other thing is just really saturated in prayer. I've always, my dad was a sound tech for years in a church. And I've always said that I think that there are demons, especially just assigned to mess with technology. And so pray for your streams, pray for the ability for the messages to get out there and to be heard and to be seen by people who never went to church. They were never going to church, but right now they're afraid and they're tooling around online. And one of their friends is watching a service on their own page. Like when I watch my church, I share it to my own page. Guess what? Then everybody that I'm connected with, if they happen by my page or happen by the feed of that, then they see, oh, what is she watching? So it just is such an amazing, amazing opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate that you mentioned about music because I wouldn't have remembered this. If you are using music, there are certain licensing things that are applicable. So look into that. Those Facebook groups that I mentioned, you can go on there and search and ask people and they'll let you know. There's just a wealth of information right now, but definitely check into that if you intend to be sharing music as part of your streaming service.
Right. And I'll just tell you that the big one is CCLI, which is, I don't know what it stands for. I'm just going to guess Christian Composers Licensing Industry.
I can remember it. Yes, that's it.
CCLI.com.
With our powers combined, Marnie.
So like that's where my songs are. So if your church wants to use my songs, they just go there and they just download them and they can use them and just give the code number or whatever that says that you've got permission to use it. So it's not difficult to do, but it is important to do. It's important to stay legal and to say, let's do this. Let's do this in a God-honoring way. Awesome. So let's talk about Sabbathing online.
Oh, yeah, that's so good. I'm so glad that we're going to chat about that. So when we function online, especially as an organization, it's so easy to succumb to this temptation to be present all the time. We always have to be posting. We always have to be available. I mean, even in our phones. I know personally I struggle with this. I have to just put my phone away somewhere and leave it when I go out to dinner or something because I will be on it because we just get addicted to being stuck on this thing, right? And so what we don't want to do is pretend like we're online when we're not. I think it's actually really important to model Sabbath even online. So don't pretend like you're still working. So it's okay to put out content and schedule things that say, hey, as we're putting this out, there may be less interaction because some of our online pastors are taking a break, you know, from this period of time to this period of time. And making that known to people who are following and engaging online, because everything will trickle down, you know, the behaviors we model, you know, what it is to be a Christian, you know, and part of that has to be rest. It's so important. So what we don't want to do is have this ability to be online and virtually present all the time, even if we're not there, mislead people into thinking that they have to be on all the time, that it's not okay to take a rest, because we will do that by accident if we're not careful.
It's super important to rest and to actually, it takes so much effort. I like the verse in Hebrews that says actually those words together. work hard to rest, which is such a funny phrase. But it takes a lot of work and determination to actually carve rest into your life, because it's just easy to just keep on going, just starting and just keep on going, just keep on going.
Yes.
There's always something you can do. And so it is something that takes, I remember in 1997, God really convicted me about this. And ever since then, I've taken a day of rest per week. And it is tough. Sometimes it's not tough, but usually it's tough to find that 24 hours to say, okay, I am not working during these 24 hours. I'm resting. And it's, you know, it's wonderful though. And when we owned a restaurant and a retail store, and I was running womenspeakers.com, and I was writing books, and I was finishing homeschooling my kids, during those years, I really think I would have died if I hadn't already had that rest day locked in as a priority, because I worked so hard, worked around the clock lots of times into the night and then up again early the next day. I really feel like God gave that to me because he knew that I would need it specifically then. But it is a gift to all of us all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, what kind of example are we if we're running ragged? That doesn't look joyful at all. It doesn't feel joyful, certainly. I've been there. It's not very joyful. And so it is important to carve out that time and to let people know that not only is it okay to Sabbath, but that our Sabbath isn't filled with playing around on Facebook, that we take time to Sabbath is not Netflix and chilling, you know, maybe for some people sometimes, but if we're really serious about it, we should take at least one day a month where we are not in front of a screen, where maybe we're just taking a walk and just being at peace with the Lord. That's so important. And to make sure that our online community that we're communicating to knows that we are doing that, and we're teaching them by sharing with them what we do.
Yeah, that's really good. Before we conclude here, I want to go back and just catch a couple things and make sure we got it right. In the tools, you had a tool called InShot. Is that InShot for video editing?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that is correct. InShot. InShot.
And then Latergram, is that only for Instagram pre-posting?
I think they just opened it up so that you can use another platform as well, but what I do is mine actually cross posts, so you can cross post to multiple platforms from your Instagram. There's a way to do that. If you get into these Facebook groups and you ask, this is going to be a great resource for you. Again, those are church social media managers and church creatives. But yes, I would say the best way is if you use Instagram and then you cross post to other platforms as well. You can post to Twitter, you can post to Facebook, and it will go, as soon as you post it, it goes to those other platforms as well. So that's in your settings on Instagram to be able to do that.
Cool. That's great. And Canva is just my...
me too.
it's just it allows you to make such professional looking you know, banners and icons and posters and invitations and all that. It's just super.
It's really great for if you want to promote your services before they come up, you know, so everyone knows this week, this is what's coming. That's a great place to design like those online flyers for people to share. Yep.
Yeah. The other thing that Canva has that is really sweet is they have the ability, once you create your online, let's say your bulletin insert or whatever you're making, once you create that, then you can actually go over and print it, have it shipped wherever you want it to be. And their printing rates are very good. They're not maybe the very cheapest ever anywhere, but boy, they're really competitive. So I've used
And the quality is amazing. We've had some brochures printed from there, I really like them. Yeah. I printed t-shirts from them too.
Even the box you get them in is like, wow, they care.
I know. I was like, this is so pretty.
Yeah. No, it's very, Canva.com is just, it's a resource worth definitely checking out. It takes a little bit to learn it, just like everything else. But one of the things too, I want to just tell you, when I don't know how to do something, like you said, to learn how to cross promote from Instagram, from Latergram or whatever. If you don't know how to do something, go to Google. In the search bar, type, how do I cross promote to Facebook and Twitter from Instagram? Let's say that. And then afterwards, yeah. I put the word YouTube. I don't put YouTube.com. I just put the word YouTube. And what that does is it brings up videos for me first. You can also search it by video, but I like this other way. It gets me somehow better. And what I do is I look for someone who's teaching it very quickly, like in 1 to 3 or 5 minutes max. So yeah. you can find tutorials on all of this that'll take you an hour or whatever. But the thing is that if somebody has figured out how to teach it to you quickly, you're going to know how to do it. When you're done, you're going to know how to do it. And if you can't, you can pause it every few seconds, catch up with them. You know, they're walking.
Yeah, if
right.
you're slow like me, that's what I do.
So like all of us. So it's really an amazing time we live in. This COVID-19, it is stretching all of us for sure. I mean, we've only just begun to be stretched, people. We need to press hard into Jesus and into his strength
yes.
and his grace, or we will run out of joy. We will run out of peace. We will run out of courage. So press hard into Jesus. That's your number one relationship. And
yeah.
then as you are receiving from God, as you're receiving peace and hope and joy and courage and all these things, then you have that to share with other people. It's so important that we get filled up from Jesus first, and then we have things to share. And as soon as we feel empty, that's because we just need more time with Jesus. We just need more from Jesus because
yes.
he is running out. He's not going to run out. So we have plenty from him. Well, this hour is flown by, Monica. Thank you so much for being here with us.
It was such a pleasure.
Yeah, and I want you guys to make sure to go check her out. She's over at womenspeakers.com, but also her own website is Monica Gehry, SR, like the word senior, MonicaGehrySenior.com. If they go over there, Monica, what are they going to find?
Well, I think the coolest thing they're going to find first is if you haven't been to the website and you go and visit it, there should be a pop-up that asks you if you want the newsletter. I just post a newsletter periodically, but more so I put it up there so I can give you a free tool. So there's a mindset tool that I developed. It has a worksheet with it and something you can use to just, you can use it personally or in a group. And it's something that, in brief, it contrasts a shadow mindset and a revelation mindset is what I call it. Yeah, you know where I'm going with that. So there's a lot of stuff we hold on to that we don't realize, and those things flare up when we're struggling. And so this is something that I actually developed as I was working through some of my PTSD, and so I wanted to share it with everyone. So if you sign up for the newsletter, that will be something you can download, a free PDF you can download and print as many of them as you want to. So definitely do that. And then there's also a page on there. On the product page, you have access to a devotional, which is 10 Days to a More Christ-like Life. There's also one that is, you know, I should have pulled it up while I was chatting with you.
Okay.
The other one is Jesus Friend of Strippers, which is a short ebook.
I love that.
It's very challenging, so I left it very short. But I want to encourage people, if they want to engage more with it and have discussion about the topics covered, to definitely reach out, email me, you know, contact me on Facebook or Instagram, whatever. My Instagram is at Monica Gehry Senior, so it's all pretty simple. That consistency that you talked about.
Yeah, I definitely want to do that. Well, Monica, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing with us today, but also thank you for your life and how you've committed yourself to being God's flow through vessel to share his love with so many.
That is the best compliment. I love you. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you.
All
guys
right, Marty.
Okay, yeah. Thank you guys for being here. It's so fun to share Wednesday afternoons with you live here at Blog Talk Radio, as well as everywhere else. Or this is carried if you want to carry your website. We encourage and welcome you to do that. Just visit blogtalkradio.com/Marnie's Friends, and then you can download the player box and put it right on your webpage so people can listen along from your site. And we appreciate all of those of you who do that. Thanks to those of you who share this out and who tune in later and listen to the archives. We've got a huge audience of archive listeners that love you guys so much. And also just remember that if you need a speaker for an online event, or if you're looking ahead towards fall or 2021, womenspeakers.com has got over 1,000 Christian women speakers there who are ready to serve you. And we're getting, all of us are getting ready to serve you online as well, too, because you don't want to wait until 2021 or something to get your gals together. Have an online party. We can help you with this. And so thank you so much for being here. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you next time at Marnie's Friends. Bye-bye.